Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. The only thing I like better than baseball is saving people money. Start saving now with a cash out refinance at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The 8th annual Evening with the Cardinals is coming up on January 11th at St. Louis Union Station Grand Ballroom. This year, it'll feature St. Louis Cardinal Hall of Famer Ted Simmons and Baseball Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith. There's dinner, unique auction items, private photo session with the two legends, and then hear them reminisce about their careers. Be a part of this special night. Visit thenccs.com. That's thenccs.org, because no family should go through childhood cancer alone. We hope to see you on January 11th, an evening with the Cardinals. As always, our chance to visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com does an amazing job covering the St. Louis Cardinals, but in particular, the minor leagues. And if you are into minor league baseball and what's happening with your St. Louis Cardinals, the place to go, thecardinalnation.com, has incredible content on all the teams, all the players, the coaches, the managers, and I think it's one of the best websites for any Cardinal fan. Brian joins us every Wednesday on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, and Brian, Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, Dan, and to all our listeners out there.
Yeah, let's start with, you know, just the general thought of 2019 in the minor leagues. It was kind of a nasty year in terms of record-wise, but an overall view of what you thought of the Cardinal system in 2019.
Well, the system showed continued progress offensively, and that's a direct impact of how the Cardinals have drafted the last few years and how they've signed international prospects. On the pitching side, there was a drag. You know, an interesting phenomenon occurred, and I really didn't notice it until I did the top 50 prospects this year, Dan, and that is that over the prior 2 years, the Cardinals added 12 prospects who appeared on our top 50 via trade. 12 prospects via trade. And I'm talking about from the Lane Thomases to Hennessy Cabreras. They really sort of, you know, used the fact that they had lost some draft picks and had penalties for international spending and pivoted how they were getting new prospects into the organization. This last year, zero prospects in the top 50, new prospects acquired by trade. They shut that avenue off because they had a full complement of draft picks and they had an unrestricted opportunity to sign international players. So it's really kind of an interesting change. The Cardinals have catching up to do in terms of pitching, but the good news is, and you know, everybody from John Mozeliak to Gary LaRocque on down will tell you that their objective in player development is to have major league talent ready. And the good news is at St. Louis, at Memphis, there is still plenty of Cardinals pitching talent. So now it's a matter of, you know, filling the pipeline up behind to get sort of the next round of guys, you know, after the Hennessy Cabreras and Helsleys and Woodfords that, you know, will be looking to maybe come up to the major leagues either late in 2020 or 2021.
Well, we did see the fact that Jake Woodford was not called up. He had a very solid year. It's a big spring training for him. The Cardinals added him to the 40-man roster. What are your expectations for Jake? And then in addition, some other names that maybe fans aren't looking at that are talked about a lot or maybe got a brief call-up this past year with the Cardinals.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's always when you have a team that has established starters like the Cardinals, we know the Cardinals have four established starters. And then the question is, you know, will Carlos Martinez be ready or now him, who's now in the picture? And one of those guys will likely be the fifth starter, barring injuries or problems. So then the question is, okay, who's the number six starter who's down in Memphis and ready to go? And there's a bunch of guys that will compete, and that's certainly where Woodford wants to be. He wants to be at the front of that line. But, you know, we've also got a couple of the veteran guys that you and I have talked about on previous calls a number of times that are battle-tested, and I'm talking about left-hander Austin Gomber and right-hander Daniel Ponce de Leon. So, you know, the Cardinals have a number of options for a starting pitching spot, and that depth is going to be important, if not right away to start the season, certainly over the course of the 162 games.
We have seen position players kind of dominate the last year and a half, 2 years for the Cardinals in the minor leagues. Let's start with Dylan Carlson. Your expectations for Dylan, and also a little bit of a look back too.
Well, certainly Dylan Carlson was the player who emerged the most across the Cardinals system in 2019. This is a player, of course, first round pick as a high schooler, and At the time he was has drafted, some experts out there thought, hey, you know, this is a reach for the Cardinals to pick this guy this early. I think it was 23rd overall the year he was taken. Well, Dylan Carlson, you know, really stepped forward in the Texas League in 2019 to the point now where he's starting to not only show up on national top 100 lists, but he's starting to show up in the top 20, top 25. And so when the big guns, Baseball America, Baseball Prospectus, et cetera, you know, start to roll out their top prospect rankings, there's no doubt that Dylan Carlson is going to be among the, you know, the top quarter of the national prospects who are getting a lot of attention. But Nolan Gorman, you know, is not that far behind. He's around the number 50 or so. And Nolan Gorman got to Palm Beach last year. He continued to show power periodically, but his strikeouts went up, his walks went way down. And he's just a young pitcher, you know, a young player, excuse me, who's dealing with pitching at a more advanced level. And, you know, when you're talking about guys who are still in their teens, you know, there's no concerns at all about Nolan Gorman development. And so, you know, for him, 2020 is going to be his year like Carlson's was last year. You step into Double-A, a hitter's league, but much better level of pitching as well. Is this going to be the year that Nolan Gorman steps forward and really, you know, goes to that next level like Dylan Carlson did in 2020? Pretty exciting times.
Absolutely. You came out with your top prospect list. It's out right now at thecardinalnation.com. Give our fans an idea of how you came about the top five, and who are the top five for the St. Louis Cardinals in your The Cardinal Nation top five list?
Well, one of the things I really believe in, Dan, is that prospect ranking, there's no right or wrong. I mean, it's opinions. It's educated opinions, but it's still opinions. And you and I might look at the same group of players and rank them differently. And so, you know, the idea is to get different opinions. So myself, Derek Shore, who's one of our experienced writers who lives in the Springfield area and sees almost all the Double-A games, as well as our message board. We have a message board community of fans who are very knowledgeable about the minor leagues, and they have their own process where they pick their own top prospect list. And I meld those three lists together into one, and that's how we come up with the site rankings. Carlson's number one, no doubt about it. Gorman number two, no doubt about it. Then the question becomes, where is Yolaris Montero, the third baseman who was the MVP of the Midwest League in 2018, hurt his hand last year, and really lost a whole year. He's number three, but there's, you know, debate about that. And then really what I think is one of the most interesting questions, one that we'll want to watch all year this next year, who is the heir apparent to Yadier Molina? Is it Andrew Kisner, who basically took over that role when Carson Kelly was traded? Or is it young Ivan Herrera, another teenager who really, really stepped up his game, played well at Peoria, played better at Palm Beach, showed himself very well against much older players in the Arizona Fall League. And so right now, the top five are Montero 3, Kisner 4, and Herrera 5. But we were not unanimous that Herrera, in fact, Derek Shore believes Herrera has already passed Kisner in that catching hierarchy.
Wow, that's pretty high praise when you think about that. I am very curious, in watching spring training this year, and if with a 26th man added to the roster of the major league clubs, and Kisner has an infield background, if they carry Kisner, would they maybe want him? And I know they want him to develop as a catcher, but, you know, get some time on the infield. What happens with Gorman and Montero, two third basemen? I think that's kind of fascinating as we move along in spring training and probably in the first couple of months of the regular season.
You're right. It'll be really fun to watch, Dan. And, you know, the thing about Kisner's played some first base, but he hasn't really done it this last year. And so I don't know if it's something they've given up on, or like you said, they want him to just get every single inning behind the plate. The idea on the 26th man for St. Louis is intriguing, especially if they get Matt Wieters or equivalent back. And when I say or equivalent, I mean a guy who can hit from the left-handed side of the plate and be a credible pinch hitter. Because that was how they wanted to use him last year, but without another catcher, you don't want to burn your backup catcher. So if you had a third catcher on the bench, i.e. a Kisner, then you could, you know, use a Wieter as a pinch hitter in a key situation. Now, the downside of that is, as a third catcher in a major league roster and Yadier Molina playing every day and Sundays, you know, Kisner's not going to get any more experience catching other than sitting out in the bullpen warming up guys.
What was your top five stories, or at least your main stories, as you look back at 2020? And I know you've dove into those categories as well with the St. Louis Cardinals and the minor leagues from this last year.
You know, again, before I get that, I didn't answer your second question. So could I want to go back to
that for just
a minute.
Yeah.
You asked about the third baseman. And as you correctly noted, it looks like Nolan Gorman's going to be ready for Springfield. But given Montero's lost year, do you move him up to Memphis? And by the way, there's already a couple third basemen at Memphis as well in Max Schrock and Evan Mendoza. So how do you move all the pieces around? You could start them both at AA and, have them rotate between third base and designated hitter when they play American League teams. And chances are, if Montero's bat goes well, even if he started maybe the first month of the season at Springfield, you'd figure he would be in Memphis pretty quick. The other thing is he's now on the 40-man roster, so there's motivation to, move him up and get a look to see whether he's going to be a guy to, contribute in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks for going back to that, because I know a lot of fans are curious about that. Let's talk about the top stories. What were your top stories on thecardinalnation.com?
You know, every year I look back at the top stories of the year, and sometimes I have 10 or 15 or 20. This year it was hard for me to cut down, but I went with 10. And we looked at, and these are all free, by the way, so folks can go read them and look at them. I started with a discussion of Jeff Albert and his impact on hitting, not only at the major league level, but at the minor league level as well. Number nine story was about the strange case of Carlos Martinez in the last couple of years and all the injuries and the fact that everybody wants him to start, but for whatever reason, he hasn't been able to do it yet. Number eight, I talked about the bullpen and how important the bullpen was to the 2019 Cardinals and the fact that they were able to overcome the loss of Jordan Hicks, who was one of the best closers in baseball in June. Number seven, the defense. The defense of the Cardinals, again, it's not as easily measurable, but you watched them play every inning, all season long. You know how that improvement in the defense was just a huge factor in the 2019 team. Number six, looked into the top rookies. So Tommy Edman was, of course, an important one. And then in the bullpen, Giovanni Gallegos, Dakota Hudson in the rotation. These three guys were key contributors to the team, and they weren't guys that we thought, coming into the year necessarily were going to play those kind of roles. Number five story, Ted Simmons going into the Hall of Fame. I mean, that goes without speaking. It probably could have and should have been higher. Number four, Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty's emergence as the ace, the second half that he had of the season was just unbelievable. Had he pitched like that all year, he would have won the Cy Young Award. Number three story, the fact that the Cardinals offense really underachieved. I mean, from top to bottom, other than Colton Wong, there wasn't a hitter in that everyday lineup that performed above his career norm. And the importance to figure out not only how to get Matt Carpenter going again, but Paul Goldschmidt, who led the team in home runs, RBI, and slugging, but had the worst Paul Goldschmidt season ever. So while Paul Goldschmidt was, at the top of the Cardinal heap, it wasn't the kind of Paul Goldschmidt year offensively that you'd hope to see from him. Defensively, a huge factor for the infield. And I'm not saying that in any way that I'm looking down at the Paul Goldschmidt trade at all, but I think he can do more with the bat. Number two story, Mike Schilt being named the manager of the year in the National League in his first full year managing. Who would have thought that was possible? But, the leadership that Mike Schilt provided was obviously a key factor in the success of the team. And then the final number one story was just, how the team did this year, overachieving, winning those 91 games, the division, getting to the Final Four.
Well, as we look ahead to next week, you'll be down in Jupiter, and it's instructional camp, isn't it?
That's right. 35 typically players, the most high potential ones in the system, are brought in. Used to be instructional camp was in the fall, and they found that, hey, players are tired. They played a long college season or high school season, the ones who were drafted, and even the ones who were in the system, played their minor league schedules. And they found that they got better instruction by bringing the players in the 1st of January for a couple weeks of drills and individualized instruction. Of course, the minor league, the player development side runs a camp, but typically I've seen every year I go, the major league coaches are there as well. So Mike Schild and Mike Maddox and, all the guys are down there working with the young players as well. So that kind of gives them a leg up on the new season.
And finally, Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. What are you working on as we head closer to winter warm-up, instructional camp, and before you know it, spring training?
Well, I'll be writing up, and folks will see my top stories predictions for 2020. What are going to be some of the big stories coming up this new year? Sometimes I guess well, sometimes I miss them. But some things like Yadier Molina's contract, and what's going to happen with what could be the last year for Adam Wainwright, and a number of other stories ahead. We're also digging that now that we've announced our top 50 prospects. Have a dozen different articles where we go into all kinds of ways of slicing and dicing this list of 50 prospects. Where did they come from? What is that telling us? Who are the top ones by position? A whole bunch of different analysis around the top 50 to give people more insight into just the prospects themselves and their potential.
Love it, Brian. Thanks so much. We'll catch you up Wednesday. You'll have some info, hopefully, for us from Jupiter on instructional camp. And these are always fun to do. And Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah, it'll be next week. I won't be in instructional camp the first week. I'm going to go down the second week. So the camp runs 2 weeks, I believe, starting the 6th. So we'll have a regular call next week, and I will be talking to you from Jupiter on the 15th.
Sounds good. Thanks, my man.
Take care.